to Super Marthy's Super Podcast. I've got a very, very cool show for you coming right up. I'm here with Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Marcy. How you going?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing swell.
Okay, well, a bit of background on how I know you. I know you from Empire.
What a surprise.
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of Steves and Stevens at Empire that I know.
One that counts. Just quietly.
So, we thought that, well, we had the idea that we both saw Drag Me to Hell on Friday night, so we'd have a little bit of a talk about it. But before we get into it, why don't you just tell everybody what you do and how cool you are?
I rob banks. No, wait, that's John Dillinger. Shit. Sometimes I get confused.
Yeah, did you think you were John Dillinger?
Oh, there. Every now and then I get a glimpse of myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing, like, 1920s, 30s gangster gear.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit. I thought I was Johnny Depp.
Oh, you look like Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I wish.
Maybe I was drunk when I saw you.
Yeah, it was about midday. Usually you're pretty gone by then.
Yeah, I'm hammered by midday.
Yeah. We saw each other at E-Games.
E-Games Expo. That's right.
Yes.
You were working.
I was working. I work for a games company.
And how cool is that?
It's cool. It can be stressful too.
So you don't actually sit and just play games all day?
No, not at all.
Ah. And here, yeah. I was thinking you'd just be sitting playing games all day.
Well, I do that a lot.
But it's in a work capacity.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
Yes. So.
So.
Drag Me to Hell.
Drag Me to Hell.
Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, well. Life. Do you want me to drag you to hell first and then talk about the movie?
What are you going to drag me by?
Your hair?
Anything but the hair.
You've got long hair.
Yeah, that's why it would hurt more.
Well, I'm dragging you to hell, so it's got to hurt, right?
We'll leave the painful when we get to hell, okay?
Well, then I'll drag you by your feet.
That's better.
Leave your poor hair alone. So, the movie.
I loved it.
What did you think? You loved it?
No, yes.
I loved it too.
You know what I loved?
The fact that it
was a Friday night screening of the movie,
yeah.
A late screening,
yeah.
And the cinema was packed.
Yeah, mine was too.
Not only that, they were all very vocal.
Yes.
That every scare worked, every funny bit worked.
Yeah.
Everyone was just having a good time. It was like a total crowd pleaser.
Everyone in the crowd, like the audience where I was, they were just in hysterics all through the movie.
Yeah.
Like, such nervous laughter every time something was building up to a scare.
Yeah.
And then when it happened, everyone was just like, ah!
Well, Raimi does that really well, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. I do love Sam Raimi.
I loved it because it brought back that funny horror feeling that I don't see very often anymore.
Mm.
I mean, I know that there's, say, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
But that was more of a British humour kind of clever comedy.
Yeah, this was
more broad. It had more of a slapstick kind of feel to it.
Yeah, well, it was like Evil Dead 2.
Exactly. I was going to say Evil Dead 2
as
well.
It's like Evil Dead 2's long-lost cousin.
Yes.
Because
Army of Darkness is funny as well, but it isn't scary.
It's not scary. It's not as gross as Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2 is freaking disgusting.
Yeah.
And this was
this
like...
This was as well.
This was so gross.
I'm surprised they got away with what they did.
I know. It was... They had a lot of mouth jokes, and I think Evil Dead 2 had a lot of mouth jokes as well.
It did. The one with the embalming fluid.
Oh, my goodness.
That makes you gag straight away.
Yeah, I don't really want to think
just,
about it.
I was
it.
Gagging and laughing at the same time.
It was so...
Which is kind of creepy.
Oh, blech. It was so gross.
Yeah.
So gross.
How are we doing this? Are we spoiling?
I don't think that is going to spoil the movie. Look at the title. It's called Drag Me to Hell. You know you're in for some hellacious stuff.
Yeah, true.
I mean, going into this movie, I knew a little bit about it, and I'd heard some things, but what I knew didn't really spoil it for me. So.
I kind of had some people spoil it. I think I listened to another podcast where they mentioned what happens at the end.
Well, we won't mention the ending.
Okay.
We can mention,
You mean the thing with Bruce Willis?
Yeah. And...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was actually going to say something else, and then you kind of spoiled it.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Bruce Campbell makes his comeback as Ash at the end.
Oh, mate. That would have been incredible. Could you imagine?
That would have been the best.
If that was how the movie ended.
I probably would have dry-humped the screen if that happened.
That would have been an awkward scene.
That probably would have cleared out the theatre for sure.
Maybe. Mm. Or maybe brought more people in.
Who knows?
Bring out the $1 bills. I don't know where we'd find $1 bills, but...
Not in Australia.
Time. We'll go to the exchange office.
$1 coins, maybe.
Oh, that would hurt.
That would hurt.
Because where would you swap them?
Not anywhere I want to think about.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, this is a fun movie.
Oh, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We had a large group.
Yeah.
And everyone just loved it.
Yeah, it was
and
so good.
We had... Girls in our group, they were scared shitless.
I wasn't scared at all. I didn't actually even jump in this movie.
I was just laughing. I was just grinning. I had the massivest grin throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, I didn't stop smiling. And I kept looking around at all the people and just looking at their reactions. It was so funny.
I kept looking over to my friends. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah. You know, like,
I think through the movie... We were just looking at each other going, this is so cool. This is so awesome.
Yeah. I'm so glad to see a movie like this again.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think I've actually had this much fun for a long time.
Actually, you're probably right.
I mean, I think, like, the last film I can remember going to where the audience was this into the movie was, like, Final Destination.
Oh, really? The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Like, the crowd just sort of had the same reaction, the nervous laughter, all the weird anticipation of what's going to happen, because you know something's going to happen.
Yeah, well, when I saw Final Destination, it was at a movie marathon, one of those late-night movie marathons. Yeah. So the crowd was already there to be, like, you know, loud and rowdy, and it was really great, actually.
Mm.
Actually, that's one of the things I miss about being a teenager, going to movie marathons.
Yeah.
Can't do it now because the teenagers give you the shit.
I have never done an all-night movie marathon at the cinema.
Really?
Really. Part of the problem was no one would go, so...
Oh, well, when we were about... From about 16 to 19, we'd go every time there was public holiday. They'd have one on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And there were some great, great movie marathons. Best one probably was... I forget what other movies were on, but The Gift was on, which is funny. It's another Sam Raimi movie. But just the reaction from the crowd when Katie Holmes comes out naked is priceless.
That's the only thing anyone remembers about that movie. Katie Holmes and her tits.
It was good. Yeah, well, of course, but it was a pretty good movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely it was.
Well, you can tell that Sam Raimi was trying to go for serious horror in that movie.
But,
and it didn't quite work.
I prefer...
It was a good thing,
like the Drag Me to Hell Evil Dead 2 thing with Raimi. Exactly. But yeah, no, I was going to say, the only marathons I have are at home, not at the cinema. Well,
that's true. We always have movie marathons with our own friends.
Actually, after watching Drag Me to Hell, the first thing I wanted to do was watch Evil Dead 2, which I watched most of because I ended up like sort of dozing off a little bit because I was like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
But I want to sit and watch Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
We watched Army of Darkness a couple of weeks ago, just randomly, that one.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch the other two. Well, we've seen them like 100 times.
I've seen them like a billion times.
Yeah.
The really annoying thing about like Evil Dead 2 was that it was never on DVD in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, for the longest time. And I remember I was having such trouble tracking it down. I finally found it on eBay, and my copy is, like, a Dutch copy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The only way I could get it was a Dutch copy.
I actually had to import all my copies of Evil Dead. American Anchor Bay editions. They're the Book of the Dead versions.
Yeah.
Because they were just too cool to pass up.
Mm.
Funny thing is, like, the Evil Dead 2 one, if you push the eye on, you know how to face the book?
Yeah.
If you push the eye, it screams at you.
Oh, really?
Which is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
But I think the battery's a bit low now, so it probably just goes...
You've been pushing the button a little bit too much.
Oh, I push buttons. I push buttons.
You push buttons.
You know, I was thinking the other day, because I'd say my top three horror movies of all time...
Yeah.
The first Evil Dead.
Yeah.
The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
And the original Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad that I have to clarify the original?
Yes.
So gladly, I don't have to clarify for Evil Dead anyway.
Yeah, well, let's hope
for now
that doesn't get remade. Now that we've said it, tomorrow there'll be an announcement.
God.
Some dickhead is remaking Evil Dead.
You know, the fact of the matter is it'll probably be Sam Raimi that does it.
Well, if he does it, okay. But if someone else does, no.
If it doesn't have Bruce Campbell in it, like... I don't know.
Yeah, even though he's like 50, who cares? I still want to see him as Ash.
Yeah.
He's Ash. That's all there is to it.
You know, I always thought they were going to get... what's his name? The guy that played Xander on Buffy?
Oh.
Brendan...
Oh, I forgot his name. I should, like, quickly IMDb it.
Oh, that ruins the, Oh, let's just pretend I'm thinking about it. Typing it in.
Shit.
Why can't I remember it?
I can't remember his name. What's wrong?
He's got a twin brother. Maybe you can remember his brother's name.
Yeah, he does have a twin brother. Nicholas Brendan.
I was thinking Brendan, like, what's his first name?
No, that's his surname, but yeah, that's the guy. If I'm wrong, I'm sure all the Buffy listeners will write in and say, you
No, you're right.
Bitch.
you're okay. You just have to worry about the red coats. By the way, they're the brown coats. We're going to get brown coats calling in.
We're going to get hate mail.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, anyway, now that we've worked out the guy... Continue what you're actually saying.
I always thought that they would probably try and get him to play Ash in a remake.
But
that was years ago when Buffy was still around. Seemed more likely. I don't actually know if that Nicholas Brendan's done anything in a long time. Maybe he hasn't.
I wouldn't have a clue.
But didn't you just have his IMDb page open?
No.
That was kind of like throwing you a bone there.
I should go try and go back to it. What is he doing? Let's see. He's doing TV guest roles, apparently.
Did you ever see him in Psycho Beach Party?
No.
That movie was actually quite funny.
Psycho Beach Party. I remember the title. I don't remember seeing it.
If you saw the cover at the video store, it looks really lame.
Yeah.
But because it's like a parody of a 50s surfer movie.
Well, yeah.
With a slasher in it as well.
Yeah.
It's actually quite funny.
Mm.
And Kimberly Davies is in it.
Oh, I know Kimberly Davies.
How could you not? She's awesome.
How could you not know Kimberly Davies? Did she get a start on Neighbours?
Yes. And her end as well.
I was going back to Drag Me to Hell. I was actually just thinking, like, the main character, Christine...
Played by Alison Lohman.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. Like, a lot of the stuff that happens to her character, it was reminding me of just a lot of the crap that Ash had to put up with in Evil Dead.
Yes, you did,
like,
get thrown around.
A lot of, like, the
quiet
slapstick stuff was just so Ash.
Although, one thing I noticed
is... It was so cool, though.
While Ash looked really silly while this stuff was happening to him...
She didn't.
She looked just hot still.
Actually,
I was quite surprised by she looked hot.
At the start of the movie, I didn't think she looked that great, but then, like, after a few minutes, her hair changed, and then she looked really good.
Yeah, she's not, let's clarify, she's not, like, typically like the typical hot type of character.
No, but
like
she just looked better
really
with her hair in a different way. Like,
yeah.
I thought Justin Long looked kind of weird in a few scenes. I don't know what it was.
I noticed this as well.
He just looked a bit odd, and I was just like laughing at how odd
face
that he looked.
Kind of like long and skinny, or
it
something.
Was weird. I don't know what
can't knock him too much. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Justin Long.
Yeah, even though he had the thankless role in this movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of just like he's the guy that has to say no. It's all right.
I love you. And
yeah.
Other stuff.
Yeah.
The other really cool thing was the old lady. Was it Sylvia Ganoush?
Yeah. Lorna Raver.
Lorna Raver. Oh my goodness. Oh my god.
As soon as she shows
she
up,
was just,
and she's,
she was awesome,
being,
though.
She was being disgusting straight from the beginning.
She was just so gross.
With her handkerchief.
The handkerchief, the freaking handkerchief.
Like, that was so gross.
It was gross. My god.
she was great.
She was so good.
Even though she was kind of hard to look at because her eye was just really gross.
Everything about her was just gross.
Yeah, it was kind of perfectly done, perfectly cast, perfectly played.
Yeah, but
commend them for that.
Yeah, I would definitely like highly recommend Drag Me to Hell.
Should we give it a score out of 5?
My score is 4 out of 5.
I'm gonna say 4.5 out of 5.
So there you have it.
You know, I'd say. At the moment, it's probably my top 3 movies of the year.
Oh, it's definitely one of the top films I've seen this year.
What are your top films?
My absolute top is Watchmen.
Yes. I was going to say Watchmen
as
well.
Yeah, no doubt. Hands down, Watchmen.
I'd follow it up with maybe Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek. Speaking of Star Trek,
yes.
I've got a little nerdy fact for you.
Okay.
I actually went out today and I bought myself a Spock action figure.
Is this original Spock or new Spock?
No, this is new Spock.
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary, because everyone knows I've got a slight obsession with Zachary.
You do have an obsession with him.
I put him next to my hero Zachary action figure.
Are you going to have like a threesome later on?
I'll probably, you know, put one on each side of me, yeah.
Are they going to be in character?
Yeah, maybe. That'll be interesting.
Siler versus Spock.
Siler versus Spock. Cyborg.
That would be an interesting menage as well.
Moving on. What other top movies were there this year?
You know, I'm kind of drawing a blank.
The other movie I think, I'm trying to think of, like, I did rate a few movies, like, 5 out of 5 this year.
Yeah.
I think the other one was probably The Wrestler.
You see, I count The Wrestler as last year.
Yeah, but I saw it this year.
I know it came out, in January?
Yeah, but it came
out
last year everywhere else.
It was a delay.
We get things on a delay.
I know, but a year from now, at Oscar season, or, like, when you're not going to be thinking The Wrestler, because that was last Oscar season.
Yeah. But I saw it this year, so I feel like it's a this year movie.
Yeah.
Same with, like, Milk. I know that was, like, a 98 movie, but I saw it in 2009.
Yeah, but when it was nominated for Oscars.
Did I say 98? I mean, 08.
Well, barely just released, I don't know. what's the movie they just released on DVD?
No idea.
Let's say... The Monster Squad. They only just released that on DVD, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that's a 2009?
No.
Okay.
But it's just because it was released here in 2009.
The year that it was released in its original release.
Yeah.
Should be when it's you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll just say that's movies I saw this year.
Okay.
Even though they officially were released elsewhere last year, but they came out in Australia this year.
I really hope that the release dates start getting a bit closer, you know.
Well, we got Star Trek on time.
Yeah, big event movies like that always do.
Yeah, I mean, we got Wolverine, a day early or something.
Oh, great.
Like, how exciting.
I think most of the internet got it, like, a month early.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. You know, What about the fact that Up still isn't out here?
Up, did you say?
Yeah, Up.
Oh, sorry, you cut out when you said Up. No, it's not out here.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
I think it came out in April in the States.
We're, like, behind in the times in Australia.
I think the biggest screw-up ever, though, was Grindhouse.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No,
because they waited until, like... It came out in America in April, came out here... Death Proof came out here in October.
Yeah, it came out separately, split up.
And then they didn't end up releasing Planet Terror at all.
Yeah, it went straight to DVD.
That movie does not deserve to be DVD.
It was a load of shit.
It was...
It was bad, yeah. Very shocking. Australia sucks, basically.
Well... I wouldn't say Australia as a country. I'd just say
our movie release stuff
schedules. Yes.
Sucks.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm trying to think back of like movies from this year and I've totally gone blank. All I remember is Watchmen and Star Trek.
Yeah.
They were the big ones. The really, really, really good ones.
Terminator came out this year.
Well, I was one of the people that liked Terminator.
I liked it too.
So shoot me. I liked it. I liked Sam Worthington, even though his Aussie accent was kind of coming through a little bit.
I didn't mind. I thought it was awesome. Because I've always liked him in movies.
Yeah, so have I. Definitely.
But I've never really seen what it was that made him a star. Like, he's always been good.
He was just so.
But he was very just typical Australian. Like, he was just typical. Yeah. I've never
typical
seen him.
Typical Aussie bloke.
I guess he did really well. He was good in Somersault. He was great.
I remember him in, what's that movie called? I've gone blank on it now. Yeah, Dirty Deeds and
Getting Square
is the one. Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't come out of that movie going, he was a standout.
Yeah. I was just going out of that movie going, yeah, he's pretty hot.
But you would have said David Wenham, yeah, he's a standout.
Oh, yeah, but given the character
and
he played in that
Dirty
movie.
Dirty Deeds, you would have said, you know, Brian Brown was awesome.
Yeah.
But with Terminator, he came out and he was definitely by far the standout. And that's quite a thing to say when he's acting opposite Christian Bale.
Yeah. I think Anton Yelchin was pretty good.
Yes.
I really loved their scenes together.
Yeah, Anton Yelchin, he embodied Kyle Reese, like, it was kind of scary. He had the exact same voice.
He was so spot on.
It was spot on.
Mm.
And he was good in Star Trek.
He was, with his insane accent and all.
While that accent was more over the top.
It was still good.
It was still good.
Yeah.
And it's Star Trek.
Like, I love the guy personally.
Yeah, I think he's great.
He's pretty awesome, but yeah, and... Terminator, probably not like a top movie of the year, but I liked it, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's one of the better action movies.
Yeah, I liked the action and everything in it.
I thought, say what you will about McGee, but his style, and the cinematographer.
I liked all of that stuff, personally.
It was incredible.
I thought it was one of the
best filmed movies I've seen in a long time.
Mm.
Just had the coolest, that's the greatest style.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in a Watchmen kind of stage style. It was really awesomely photographed.
Well, it was a lot better than another movie I saw last month called...
Transformers?
Trans Testicles 2. The lame, stupid joke movie.
Yes, that was so goddamn lame.
That was bad.
And, yeah. I can't understand how they messed that up so badly.
They basically took everything wrong with the first one, which was awesome, and just, like,
and multiplied
blew
it
up.
Yes.
Like, oh my goodness.
They were like, oh, the first one, what was annoying about the first one? Oh, too many comedy relief characters. Alright, let's add, like, 20.
Yeah, it was net.
Seriously. Like, okay, let's stop and count through the comedy relief characters in this one. Alright, they brought back
so
John Turturro, who was actually the most decent out of everyone, in a way. Oh, maybe that's it. Alright, he was... the least annoying of the comedy relief characters, I'd say.
Yeah.
And he was incredibly annoying in the first one. Alright. The two hip-hop racist robots.
I think we know the skid marks. Was it skid marks and something else?
Mud flaps.
Mud flaps, is that right? I don't know. They were just so
something
bad.
Something like that.
I didn't even want to think about the movie.
What about the annoying Latino guy?
Yeah.
Who just screamed a lot.
Yeah, it was just, everything was just so bad.
There was also the Joe Pesci sounding robot.
Oh. And there was John Turturro's ass in my face on IMAX.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Goodness,
no.
I mean, you could have done that with Megan Fox, and then maybe I would have, like, loved the movie, but no.
Could you imagine? That would be, like, a... Actually, you know, I read a review where someone was saying that the release of Transformers is such a step down for humanity that it's become, like, you know that movie Idiocracy?
Yeah.
How they all go to see the movie, like, ass, the movie, and it's just a big ass on the screen for 2 hours, right? And I just made the connection that we had an ass on the screen as well. That practically was the first steps towards Ass the Movie.
Yeah, we'll probably get Ass the Movie in a couple of years.
I think we will.
How unfortunate.
Hopefully it stars Jessica Biel.
Yes, well,
I would mind.
That would be good, actually. I think I actually mentioned Jessica and her nice assets in my previous episode.
Oh yeah.
What
were you referring to?
We were talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the remake.
Yes.
And I think we mentioned that all her clothes were perfectly placed to highlight her assets.
They were. She was actually incredibly in that movie.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't mind the remake. So.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it doesn't really capture what was great about the first one, but it, you know, you can't really do that again anymore.
No.
Like,
no.
It's kind of hard to make that really raw, like, you know, grimy feel.
Yeah, without, yeah.
I mean, this one obviously felt like it had a lot of production value behind it.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like as if, like, David Fincher wanted to make the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie or something.
Yeah.
But that was cool. That's why that's what I liked about it.
Mm. It was.
They should have tried to replicate. It was good they didn't try to replicate that feel from before.
It was the remake was really, really gross.
Oh yeah, it
was a lot of like gross. It was gross.
It was way more violent than the original.
It was really vile and violent. The other one, people
think kind of made
that
you feel
it
bad.
Is, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not. There's hardly any blood show on screen.
There isn't actually, but. I touched on the fact that when I first saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, I hated it, and then it just took me watching it again and again that I actually really started to love it.
I think when I watched it, I was maybe 12, 13 or something, and it was just such a notorious movie, and I was at that stage where I just wanted to track down every notorious horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the whole thing about how it was built up to be a true story, even though we know it wasn't.
Yeah.
Just kind of fueled into that.
Yeah.
And it just, I loved it. Straight away. But I've always been a fan of that exploitation feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cheaper and nastier a horror movie feels, to me, that's a creepier one. Same with The Hills Have Eyes.
Mm.
When the original felt like it was like, it had the production values of a porno, in a way. Yeah, that's what made it feel really creepy and genuine.
Yeah, that, like,
to me.
That was, like, a really creepy movie.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And while the remake looked great, it had incredible Hollywood, you know, special effects. And, but it didn't really capture that feel to me.
Yeah, you can't really do that again, but they did. I think the movie itself, like, the remake was good, but it's.
Yeah, it was,
not
it was
gonna
good.
Really be like the original.
No.
It's one of the better remakes that they've done.
Yeah. I actually just recently got Friday the 13th on Blu-ray.
The original.
And that the remake.
Remake.
I've already got I've got the originals on DVD.
Okay.
And I don't know if I could be bothered buying another 10 Blu-rays again, you know.
But the
remake wasn't too bad.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. The only thing I've actually seen from the movie is the sex and nudity. Like, I'd heard that it highlights. Was so fantastic.
Yeah, well, one woman in particular.
Yeah. So yeah, I've seen that, and that convinced me that maybe I should like give the movie a watch.
Well, it's got the guy from Supernatural. Do you like Supernatural?
I don't watch Supernatural.
You know, I've heard it's not too bad.
I just couldn't get into it. I started when it first started on TV, and then I just lost interest, basically.
Well, I don't know. I never watched it. I just thought it looked kind of crap.
Male Charmed, and yeah. It's probably not, but...
Yeah.
That's what it was like, so...
It did kind of look like Male Charmed, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
And it, like, another attempt at, like, an X-Files type show,
yeah.
Or...
It didn't hit it off with me, so...
Yeah, I watched my first episode today, or part of an episode while I was at work, because we've got Foxtel.
Oh, well, aren't you lucky?
Well, we don't have the movie channels, just all the TV shows, unfortunately. See, it's pretty hard knock for us. It's a hard knock life.
Yeah.
No Showtime? What the hell, man?
No!
No, but anyway, it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, pretty atmospheric. It was really dark, and it was kind of like a takeoff of The Ring.
Well, maybe it might be worth a watch if I'm bored one day.
I've been thinking about how we could watch it.
Yeah.
Because I've heard good things. The fact that it's kind of like a ongoing horror-based TV show, I'd like to support something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, give it a watch and see how it is.
I'll give it a watch.
But you were... What were you going to say actually about Friday the 13th, the remake?
Before
started going on about Supernatural, it's good.
It's good.
It's good.
I recommend it.
Well,
it starts
I will
shaky.
See it, so.
Because they kind of flash forward with part one and part two in the first 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes. And it starts off a little weird. But then it pays off.
Okay, well... Oh, it's definitely, like, on my radar of things I'm going to watch, so...
And it's directed by the same guy that did Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, it is, so...
Marcus Nispel.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'll be watching it, and, yeah. I'll just have to track it down eventually.
Alright.
And what else have you been seeing, like, what else have you been watching lately? What else have you been seeing lately is what I was going
to
say.
I went to an advanced screening of Redcliffe.
Yes.
The other day, like last week sometime. And I thought it was okay.
You thought it was okay?
Yeah.
What did you think was holding it back from being really good?
I don't know. It's hard to say because, like you know, they took two movies. In its original release, it was two movies. It was Redcliffe 1 and Redcliffe 2.
Yeah.
And together, they'd be around 4.5 hours or so.
Uh-huh.
And then they managed to take the two movies, squish them into one, and release it as one 2.5 hour movie.
Okay.
And obviously losing 2 hours of plot kind of will take its toll.
Yeah.
And so, I think it did.
Okay. So it was okay.
People have been saying it's a return to form for John Woo, and while it was pretty good, I don't think it's anywhere near his best work.
Well, what is your favourite John Woo movie?
Hard-boiled.
Hard-boiled. I haven't seen it, so don't kill me.
Alright, so we're going to have to stop the podcast, and you're going to go watch Hard-boiled, and then maybe you'll come back. And then you'll be a better person for it.
Well, it's one I've wanted to watch. It's just, with me, I just haven't gotten around to it.
It's fantastic.
I mean, like...
Have you seen any of his Hong Kong movies?
I was about to say, like, one movie of his that I really wanted to see for the longest time was The Killer, and it took me, like, years to finally actually track it down to watch.
Yeah. I kind of got into John Woo from... SBS. SBS used to always back in the 90s. SBS used to have a cult movie night every Friday.
Yeah. I remember that.
Hosted by Des Mangan, I think it was, and he used to put on the coolest Hong Kong movies all the time. And that was what he showed. He showed the killer.
Yeah.
And that was just fantastic.
I remember seeing it on just bits of it on TV, and I thought, wow, this looks so good. And I could never find it. And I finally tracked it down, and it was so good. But now it's been so many years since I've seen it, I really would like to see it again.
It's worth it for the big shootout at the end alone. That's just, it's fantastic. The one in the church.
Yeah.
No one films shootout better than John Weir.
Mm.
Nobody. And that's one of the best of those blood operas. Because I remember back in the 80s and 90s, that was like the in thing to do was make a blood opera with lots of dual gun shooting and slow motion.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best. But Hard Boiled, that's kind of like Asia's take on Die Hard. Okay. I think it came out just after Die Hard. And it just blows anything
out. I think it's a 92, 93 movie. I'm not 100% sure.
It was something like that.
Yeah.
But it just kicks America's ass in terms of action. There's one bit. I'm a big fan of Steadicam shots, right?
Yeah.
Like long shots that keep going.
Yeah.
This is one shot in Hard Boiled where the camera follows Chow Yun Fat and another. I forget who the other actor was. I can't remember. It might have been. That's not Andy Lau. Oh, I can't remember. But they move up between three floors of a hospital.
Yeah.
In an elevator.
Yeah.
Like they get on one floor, they shoot their way through. They keep shooting. Dozens of guys keep running out of them around corners, and they keep shooting it, and it's all done in one take.
Oh wow! Okay.
And it's so damn impressive.
Well,
the body count must be like in the hundreds in that video.
Well, part of my homework: watch Friday the 13th remake and watch Hard Boiled.
Well, I wouldn't say Friday the 13th is an imperative one.
No, but I still would like to see it. But
you know, there was a part in Redcliffe.
Yeah.
Where, actually it's not a part, it's like the last third of the movie.
Yeah.
Where nothing happens except for exploding fake fireballs.
Okay.
Actually, there's so much CGI fire in that movie that it kind of starts to resemble the hell scenes from Spawn, the movie.
Okay.
It was so ridiculous towards the end. But it started out really well.
So before we move on to anything else, what's your score for Redcliffe?
I'll give it 2.5 out of 5.
I was gonna say, when you say it's okay, I'm thinking 2.5 out of 5 sort of rating.
Yeah. I'd like to see it in its original form because one thing that was really annoying about this version, it had the American trailer movie guy doing narration.
Okay.
He's like, and then the dynasty moves from one end of the north. And it's like, it actually had that in English.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. And when they introduce characters, their names would appear on the screen next to them and what they do.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to recut it with the Snatch music. Like the opening credits. Brick Top, you know? that's what it kind of felt like, except, I mean, not quite like that, but you know. What else have you been watching?
Hey?
What have you been watching?
I actually haven't watched all that much lately. I kind of covered all the stuff that I'd been watching
in
my last podcast. But the other thing that we needed to talk about was, I'd say he's like one of my favorite things in the whole world because I love the guy.
Are we talking about Van Damme?
We are talking about Van Damme.
He's probably my favorite thing in the world as well.
I have actually watched Bloodsport this kind of like last week.
Yes.
And I have to credit you for giving me the awesome intro music to the Super Podcast.
Yes.
It is from Bloodsport, in case people were wondering.
It's by Stan Bush, too.
Hey?
Everyone loves Stan Bush, right? It's Stan Bush?
It
was, wasn't it?
You're coming through a bit muffled.
Really?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Alright, good.
Hopefully.
Yeah, Stan Bush did that song, right?
I can't even remember.
like he's the guy that did The Touch?
I can't remember. I'd have to check.
I think he did the music in Kickboxer as well.
Mm. That's another one I want to watch again. Kickboxer.
Those are classics. I just ordered it on Blu-ray.
Yes.
I can't wait to get it. It's never been released in Australia.
I was going to say, for anyone wondering, Kickboxer has never been released in Australia on DVD.
Only dodgy retailers will bring in the American version.
This is like...
Which is not only full screen, it's also the edited version.
Yeah. I was going to say, Australia's kind of backwards in their DVDs as well.
Yes.
But, I was going to go on about Mr. Van Damme and how awesome he is.
I would like to ask you a question.
What would you like to ask me?
What is your favourite Van Damme movie? What are your top three?
What are my favourite Van Dammes? That's a really hard question because I kind of love everything, even if it's awful.
Yeah, I do. Like The Order, I kind of love that. It has Charlton Heston in it. And Van Damme dresses like a Jew. A Hasidic Jew.
If I give you my top movies, I kind of got to go with JCVD just because it was so freaking awesome.
Well,
he's
awesome, isn't it?
It's just amazing.
But the thing is, I'm such a Van Damme fan that his performance in that did not surprise me because I knew he could do it.
No, I knew he was going to just be awesome, but he was so awesome. That could probably be my favorite.
The bit where everyone always talks about is the scene where he turns the camera.
Yeah, the whole long monologue thing. Yeah.
That was just so candid.
It was like...
And emotional.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
I mean, it was just awesome seeing someone open up like that.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it took a lot of guts for him to do this movie, and it pays off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just hope he follows it up with something worthwhile.
Yeah, I think that's...
The Eagle Path looks okay.
Eagle Path, yeah. That wasn't
bad. But it looks just... A little over his, just a little slightly above his straight to DVD stuff, unfortunately.
What else are my favourites? Probably Bloodsport and Kickboxer because they're so awesome.
Bloodsport, yeah, Bloodsport is awesome. That's probably my favourite.
I love Bloodsport.
I love everything about it.
Yeah, Kickboxer as well is really cool. I mean, Kickboxer has him doing the whole dancing thing. In the bar, can you go past that?
No. While he's getting attacked.
Yeah.
And he's drunk, too.
It's so awesome. It's like such an awesome scene.
The time that he was on that TV show, Dancing with the Porn Star.
Yeah. He got a little too excited in that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'd say Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And I also love Hard Target.
Hard Target. I do like that. He carries like the most awesome mullet in Hard Target.
Yes, he pulls off the mullet perfectly.
He can do mullet. And if anyone doubts
only
him,
certain people can.
Yeah, if anyone doubts him, he can pull off a mullet, people.
Yes. Chuck Norris may have done many things, but he cannot pull off a mullet.
I agree, actually.
Have you seen the movie Hitman? With Chuck Norris, the old movie Hitman.
Oh, I don't think so.
He had the worst mullet of all time.
Poor Chuck
Norris. And I'm not afraid to say that to Chuck Norris.
Well, you might be in danger if you pay out Chuck Norris.
Well, what will happen?
I don't know. I'll have to look up some Chuck Norris facts.
Yeah, I was gonna see if you could think of one off the top of your head.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. I don't know. I'll have a think about it.
Then is when Chuck Norris does push-ups, he doesn't push himself up. He pushes the earth down.
So what other, like, Van Damme movies do you really, really love?
All right, so I've got Bloodsport, I've got Hard Target.
We said JCVD.
Yeah.
So what other ones are like...
I love Universal Soldier.
Yeah, awesome. Universal Soldier is so awesome.
Yes, but it's also awesome because of Dolph Lundgren, too.
How good is he in Universal Soldier?
He's awesome.
Oh, my God.
When he just goes nuts again.
Oh, fantastic. He's so good. Oh, brilliant.
And, you know, I've got packages every Van Damme movie.
I'm trying to get everyone. Do you know which one I love, even though he's not in it all that much, is No Retreat, No Surrender. And I hadn't seen it until, like, this year. I loved it. I could watch that movie every day.
It's because it's not only just a great, fun story, it's also ridiculous. And you can laugh.
It's so funny.
It's not quite as ridiculous as King of the Kickboxers.
Oh God.
Lauren Avedon.
That is awesome.
But it's up there, and it's got the same level of awesomeness.
Yeah. I can't believe I hadn't seen it until, like, this year. Like, maybe when I was a kid and I hadn't realised that's what it was. But
maybe.
I was just thinking, where have you been all my life? No Retreat, No Surrender.
That movie works because of its flaws. Yeah. Like, the flaws make it better.
Yeah, the awful Every acting time, and...
Yeah, the acting is absolutely excruciating, and that's so what makes bad. It incredible.
It's so good, though.
Especially the father.
He's terrible, but oh my god.
I love when he gets beaten up at the beginning and he screams like a little girl, and then he falls on the ground and starts crying in front of his whole martial arts school.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Have you ever seen, since you probably, like, got all these movies, you've seen Black Eagle with...
Yes, Shokasugi.
His show, who's awesome. That's a pretty bad movie, but it's really cool for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always had a soft spot for old Japanese men who are action stars.
Yeah.
And Shokasugi kind of embodies that.
He's just so cool. I love him.
He's great.
He's so cool.
He gets the best of Van Damme.
He does. Film. He's so cool. If anyone has not seen a show movie, please go and watch one.
I recommend they start with Pray for Death.
I think that's
what it was called. I rented that movie as a kid because I was obsessed with Ninja Turtles, and he looked like the Shredder on the front cover. Is that what it's called? I don't even remember.
I know which one you mean because I watched it, like, earlier this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, like, go back on IMDb and, like, look up...
I'm looking it up as we speak.
I've just wrote in show. I wonder if anything will come up in the search results.
It would be an awesome world if he came up first.
No.
I was right. It's called Pray for Death.
Pray for Death.
Yes, oh my god, it has a DVD and the cover is the worst cover of all time.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's like some skull with terrible generic horror writing underneath it. It's not a horror movie. The original poster is amazing. It's him with a Shredder mask on.
Yeah, and then the other one's just like,
why on earth would they change that?
I don't know.
Oh god. Oh no.
I think one of the movies I watched this year with Sho was Enter the Ninja.
Yes.
Which was so cool.
That's a great movie.
Oh, that one is really cool. I'd highly recommend that.
Now, I haven't seen that in... I must have been like 7 when I watched that. So that's over 20 years ago.
The other one that I watched that was really, really cool was Revenge of the Ninja. And...
The Empire Strikes Back Ninja.
The other one that I watched, which was really weird, which is Ninja 3, The Domination.
And it's was like, there Ninja 1 and 2?
Well, I think there wasn't, but I think maybe Enter the Ninja and Revenge of the Ninja might have something to do with it, but not really. Ninja 3, The Domination, is like the ninja movie meets The Exorcist.
Are you serious?
I am serious. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but it's also really awesome in that really awful way.
Why haven't I watched this movie?
You should YouTube it and check out some of the scenes.
I might just buy the DVD straight out.
Ninja if you 3, can find it. But we should go back to Van Damme because, you know, we're talking about the greatness of Van Damme. But, you know, Sho is also awesome. Do you like the movie called... For some reason, I'm thinking of a different title than what I'm actually thinking of.
Yes.
Sudden Death, the hockey movie.
Yeah, That's great.
I love that movie.
I love all his movies.
That one's one of the ones I used to watch a lot, so it has like a place in my heart.
Powers Booth is in it, and he's like
I love him. He's so cool.
He's awesome. Directed that movie.
I was gonna say like really infamous Van Damme movie is Street Fighter. It's known for how absolutely awful it is.
Awfully good.
It's one of those movies that I kind of really hated, but then loved and then hated again.
Look, I'm a massive Street Fighter fan.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It's just so dumb.
I can look at it for what it is.
It's a dumb movie.
And it's just a hilarious movie with Street Fighter characters in it. I don't mind that.
And I don't know what...
I appreciate
I don't know
movies.
What was going on with Van Damme in Street Fighter, but his accent is so heavy in it.
I think he just didn't have any dialogue coach.
I was going to say, maybe he, like, got rid of his dialect coach.
Because there was a... It was extra harsh in that, wasn't it?
It was. Like, you watch his movies before that, and his accent is not that heavy.
I think that's what kind of gave him the notoriety... for being a bad actor.
Yeah, poor Van Damme.
Because people saw that he just spoke with the wrong inflection in the middle of sentences and
yeah.
It was just all over the place.
Yeah.
And that was probably his biggest budget movie at the time, so
yeah.
It would have had a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he's a good actor.
He is. Do you know, I mean, I really love, like, Double Impact, because he's got the two roles in that movie.
I'm going to say that that's my third favourite Van Damme
movie. I love that movie. He plays the two guys, but he plays them like you're convinced that there's two different people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Even though he's the one actor, he does it so well.
At the time when it came out, those special effects were like stunning.
Yeah.
The fact that he was on the screen, he was fighting himself.
It was so cool. Like.
It was just great.
You know, that's really, really highly recommended.
And he reunites with Paulie Young. To fight him in that movie after he fought him in Bloodsport. So it really was a big event movie for me as a child.
Mm.
So, you know, that's even directed by the same guy that directed Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Sheldon Lutich.
Awesome movie. I was gonna say, these movies that we're talking about are highly recommended, and if you haven't seen them, whoever's, you know, crazy enough to listen to this, watch them. Have some Van Damme appreciation. Please.
To me, there's nothing better than martial arts movies.
They are awesome.
And the worse they are, the better they are.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
There is one that you have which I really, really want to see.
It is called Samurai Cop.
How can you not like it
from that title alone?
Oh, the YouTube videos just... I was going to wet my pants at how funny they were.
Okay, everyone out there, go to YouTube and search Samurai Cop Parking Lot Rumble. Because it is the most incredible action scene that's ever been filmed.
Oh, that is so awesome.
And after you finish doing that, look up Samurai Cop Horny Nurse. I've seen that movie so many times and that clip so many times that I can recite that entire scene. It's like a 5-minute scene.
Yeah, maybe we'll not recite that scene. I think that you just need to see it first.
Yes.
To really appreciate it. So I think
the actress in that scene is a random hooker. Because they did film that movie in like some pretty slimy areas of Los Angeles.
You were gonna say slutty just... areas.
No, it's slimy.
Slimy.
I was gonna say grimy, and then I decided slimy.
It sounded like you were gonna say slutty.
No. They filmed it in some slimy areas of Los Angeles, and she really did seem like she was just a random prostitute.
A random prostitute.
Put in the nurse outfit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, hopefully I can see this awesome movie one day.
I'll make you a copy. Oh, wait, no, I won't do that.
No,
that's
you'll
illegal.
Buy me and send me a copy.
I will buy you a copy. From my friend in Kentucky who sent it to me through eBay.
Very cool.
Yes.
So, yeah, well, these are the really cool, like, recommendations, and...
Yeah, I'd say the cutting edge movies that we talk about.
Yeah.
Like Ninja 3, The Domination.
Ninja 3, The Domination. Oh, seriously. Like, you really got to be careful what cut you get of this movie, because there's like a really edited version that they released in England, because certain things they weren't allowed to show.
What, like nunchucks and stuff
like
that?
Like the what are they called?
Ninja
the
stars?
Ninja stars and some of the blood and stuff.
Shurikens.
Yeah, that's the word. I couldn't think of the word. But, yeah, try and get sort of like the uncut version if possible.
Okay.
But definitely see it, because it's just so weird. Like, ninja movie meets exorcist movie.
I think it sounds incredible.
Can you go wrong
with
that?
It's a ninja movie from the 80s, and I haven't seen it.
With show.
And it sounds awesome.
With show, because...
And it was released. It was released. Hey, guess what?
What?
It was released on my birthday.
Oh, well, you have to see it.
Oh, wait. It was released 2 years after my birthday. September 27th.
But it's still your birthday.
Yeah. But how good is that? This is practically... It's meant to be. I have to see it.
You have to see it. I'm really surprised you have not seen Ninja 3, The Domination.
It's got John LaMotta in it.
Although, this year, I hadn't seen it either, so...
Yeah. Hey, and you hadn't seen No Retreat, No Surrender.
I know. What's wrong with me? That's like...
Exactly.
That's like the most awesome movie ever.
Correction. King of the Kickboxers.
Oh, King of the Kickboxers is brilliant. Oh, what's the other really brilliant title you introduced me to this year?
What was it?
Please tell me you remember what it is.
Was it... I don't remember.
It was like a martial arts movie with an Olympic guy in
Jim
it.
Jim Carter. Oh, man. That is one schizophrenic movie.
Isn't that the most, like, just dumbass movie ever?
It's a dodgy 80s martial arts movie and a gymnast movie.
Yeah.
And halfway through it turns into a horror movie.
I know.
But only for 20 minutes. And then
it's
cuts back
so
to
so weird. And like every sort
the whole
of like
movie plays out like yeah
like there's certain scenes set up where he's got like all this gymnastics gear ready to go like so he can do all these like gymnast moves but like you know
out of, yeah
hit the guy
out of nowhere
yeah
halfway through the movie he just kind of ends up in the creepy village town thingy from Resident Evil 4 and he just starts kicking the shit out of villagers for like 20 minutes and running away from them, and it keeps getting more and more gruesome.
It is.
And it's kind of like, what the hell were they thinking?
It is so insanely hilarious. That's
best what, that is just how little charisma this has.
What's the guy in it? Kurt Thomas. Yeah, that's another one that people
like that.
Really need to have a look at. Is Jim Carter.
Yes.
I mean,
this is a movie in which a gymnast kicks the shit out of random villagers while on a pummel horse that just happens to be in the middle of the town.
It's in the middle of the town.
Yes.
I believe that scene is on YouTube, so look it up on YouTube. YouTube is your friend.
Yeah, YouTube is incredible.
It is. So I think, yeah, we've managed to cover quite a lot of awesome topics.
Of the important topics of the world.
Yes.
Like Jim Carter.
Jim Carter and King of the Kickboxers.
I'm upset that we didn't devote more time to Lauren Avedon. Because, to be quite honest, there can't be any other podcast in the world at the moment talking about Lauren Avedon.
Probably not. I mean, if there is...
I think we should track him down and to subscribe.
You want to track him down?
Yes. He
well,
can't be doing much.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know. You can try track him down.
He's off somewhere making a movie with Cynthia Rothrock.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe not.
God, wouldn't that be awesome?
What was that? I remember seeing that really bad movie. Like a scene with Cynthia Rothrock in it.
The greatest fight scene of all time.
Yeah, that one there.
I think that movie was called...
I'm trying to think of that. It's like one of the all-time greatest things you can look up on YouTube.
Undefeatable.
Undefeatable. That's look up
yeah,
undefeatable,
yeah.
Please.
No, I think if you just look up greatest fight scene of all time.
Yeah, I think it comes up under that as well. But
two oiled up 80s dudes.
Yeah.
Beating the crap out of each other and screaming with every punch that they do.
It is so hilarious. I don't want to see that movie. I just liked that one scene.
No, don't bother seeing the movie because the movie is really, really painful.
Yeah.
Except for that fight scene.
Yeah, I've actually just looked up Lauren Avenant, and it doesn't look like he's done any acting since 2004.
Oh, I didn't even realise he was out for that long. Like, I didn't realise he was just in the 90s.
Okay, you kind of cut out there. Hopefully you don't cut out again.
Okay, I was saying that I thought he disappeared in the 90s.
Yeah, well, apparently he had a guest spot on Baywatch Hawaii.
That must be his, like, career peak, though.
Mm. Well, yeah, he was in No Retreat, No Surrender 2, No Retreat, No Surrender 3, King of the Kickboxers.
Yeah.
And I think that was about it.
He was... those are his best movies, though.
Oh, yeah.
Especially King of the Kickboxers.
King of the Kickboxers is the crowning jewel. It's like an insane ripoff of Kickboxer.
Like some kind of undercover kind of...
Yeah, he's an undercover cop, and he goes to Thailand to avenge his brother's death that happened there. And
yes,
Kickboxer...
His brother was killed in a snuff movie by Jamie... Was it Jamie Blanks? No, wait, it's Billy Blanks.
Yeah, Billy Blanks is the son. Yeah.
Firebird,
and Kickboxer is about Van Damme going to get revenge against his brother getting paralyzed in the kickboxing match.
In Thailand.
Yeah, so...
Basically, they just wanted to go to Thailand.
Yeah, they wanted to do, you know, your Muay Thai kickboxing.
It's fantastic, though.
It's so hilarious, like...
Yeah, his acting in particular is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It's something special.
Yeah.
It really, really is. I would highly recommend it. I mean, if people want to just have, you know, sit down, have a fun time, not take something so seriously, check out these awesome movies.
They should. And Schindler's List.
And Schindler's List.
Yeah. You know what I think so seriously is when I have a good time? It's kind of like Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
Actually, that's probably a bit dark, that joke.
Yeah, just a little bit. Watch out for all the hate mail.
Hey, if we're getting mail, we're doing something good. We're doing something right.
Yeah, but in going back to being, you know, somewhat serious.
Yes,
King of the Kickboxers and Jim Carter and all these awesome movies are worth tracking
down. And Samurai Cop.
Samurai Cop, I have to see Samurai Cop. Definitely have to see Samurai Cop.
I'll find a way to get you a legit copy.
Actually, I was just actually thinking of like another movie. I don't think it was actually bad, but it was actually like a really fun kind of movie. And that was Best of the Best with Eric Roberts.
That's a great movie.
And Philip Rhee?
Philip Rhee and Simon Rhee.
And Simon Rhee. And it's also got Chris Penn. He does martial arts. Oh my god.
Cowboy that can smash bricks with his hands.
Yeah. I mean, that movie just kind of popped into my head. I was thinking, oh, that's a really cool movie, but it's not actually like a bad sort of funny movie. It's like a good, enjoyable movie.
There's lots of Eric Roberts emoting in that movie.
There's lots of good Eric Roberts. The sequel.
He cries and yells.
Aren't the best.
And he opens
though.
His wide mouth.
Yeah.
The sequels are bad.
The sequels head into that kind of bad funny territory, but at least number two is pretty funny.
It has a cameo by Eric Roberts.
No, he's in number two.
Yeah, but not for long though, right?
No. He's in all through number two.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know who...
I couldn't remember part two just being like some kind of, you know, like they were fighting in an arena.
Yeah, it was like in...
It was kind of illegal.
Yeah, and the bad guy in Best of the Best part two is Ralph... I can't pronounce his last name.
I thought you were going to say Ralph Macchio for a second.
Ralph.
That would have been awesome.
Ralph Mueller. I can't pronounce his name. He was one of the silent guys in Universal Soldier.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
He's the baddie in Best of Best 2.
So was Simon Ree. Simon Ree's in
Yes, he is in that. I kind of like, I hadn't seen it since I'd seen like Best of the Best, and then when I watched Universal Soldier, I'm like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, it's the Best of the Best guys.
Yeah. You know who else is in Universal Soldier?
Who else is in Universal Soldier?
Tiny Tommy Lister. He's the president in Fifth Element.
Now I've got to watch it again.
Yes, it's great.
Well, it's Universal Soldier. It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Except for The Return, because that wasn't awesome. It featured crap.
Universal Soldier: The Return.
It featured crap.
It unfortunately had now I can't remember that.
Goldberg?
Thank you. It was Goldberg. I hate Goldberg.
And it had Michael Jai White.
Oh, so ridiculous. I think up until JCVD, yeah, that was Van Damme's last theatrical release movie.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
He's gonna come back with power, Van Damme.
So he should have been in The Expendables.
Well, yeah, he turned it down.
I don't know why he turned. Yeah, why though? Like, that would have been incredible. It would have been the best comeback ever.
Yeah. Oh well.
Hey, just before we go.
Yeah, because we are gonna wrap this up now.
You know, with the success of The Expendables, probably be a straight-to-video sequel, like everything nowadays.
Yeah, no doubt. You know,
Roadhouse has one.
Yeah.
8mm has one. Yeah. Lost Boys. Who do you reckon would be the mad C-list actors they'd bring back for The Expendables straight-to-video movie?
I don't know.
I'll start off. Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Yeah.
I was going to say Steven Seagal because he wasn't asked to be in the first one.
And after Steven Seagal and Gary Busey, I'd say maybe Ice-T.
Ice-T?
Yes.
It already has the makings to be brilliant.
It's got to have someone else.
They should have Lauren Avedon in it just so he can outshine everyone.
Oh, man. Lauren Avedon was in it.
He needs to make a comeback.
What about Bokeem Woodbine?
You cut out again.
Bokeem Woodbine. He needs to be in it.
I think we need to pitch this idea.
I think we're basically just remaking Hard Cash. was that maybe called Hard Cash?
Hard Cash.
Maybe.
What's Hard Cash?
I think it is. Let's look it up. Hold on a second.
Okay. Hard Cash.
Yes, it has. Hard Cash has got Christian Slater.
And Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, Bokeem Woodbine. It's got to have more people in it. Well, Balthazar, William Forsythe, Vern Troyer.
Oh, man.
It's got Christian Slater and friggin' Mini-Me. Yeah, okay, so Gary Busey, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, this movie could be incredible. Don't you reckon that could be awesome?
It would be pretty awesome, yeah.
Don't you think that the sad thing is that it's not unlikely that this would happen?
Yeah. Although,
like Expendables 2.
Expendables 2, the forgotten crew.
Yeah, the old team is back or something.
Starring Lauren Avedon and Gary Busey.
Gary Busey could play some kind of crazy mercenary guy who kills people, and he probably won't even know he's making a movie.
Poor Gary Busey.
I'll follow him with a camera, and I'll just be like, you know, being crazy, pulling out people's digestive systems and stuff.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first. Expendables Part 2.
We should probably wrap it up.
We are going to have to wrap it up because this is like my longest podcast, and it's also been the most fun podcast.
Yes, I think it's been pretty fun.
It is fun.
Should do it more often.
Yeah, well, I'm aiming for once a week.
Well, I plan to watch Public Enemies this week.
Yes, I'm going to see it on Saturday, which I'm going with the Melbourne Empire crew to see.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, so hopefully that ends up being really good. Yes. I do have a massive boner for Christian Bale.
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Not Johnny Depp?
Yeah, but it's not as big of a boner.
Thank God for that. I think...
I just love Bale, so, yeah.
Yeah, Bale's cool. But I've heard he's not, like... His character isn't really that fleshed out.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp playing John Dillinger is pretty awesome.
Pretty perfect, eh?
Yeah, I know a lot about John Dillinger. I'm a true crime kind of person, so definitely read about it more than once.
Well, it's going to be good, I reckon.
Yeah.
And on that note,
I will see
you later.
Where?
Until next time.
Over and out.
Over and out.
I don't have a really cool signing off saying, so catch you next time, people.
We should come up with some kind of Van Damme one-liner.
I'll just go with a Schwarzenegger, I'll be back.
That's good.
Say, so, I'll be back.
In mysterious Thailand, the home of the world's deadliest sport, when the cameras roll, death awaits. Do it once, huh? At least it evens the odds a little bit.
Interpol paid me a visit today, asked about a loan out. And you lucky stiff, I'm gonna send you over there.
Where's over there? My luck, it'll be Jersey.
No, it's better than Jersey. Thailand.
And the deaths of these films are for real. That's where the action and the market is. Business is very good, but to meet the demand, somebody has to get killed.
A New York cop becomes part of this secret world in the steaming jungles of Thailand. Masquerading as a fighter, he is really on a mission of vengeance.
You're not hitting me with that!
Thai proverbs say success comes through pain.
It's been 10 years now, and death is just around the corner. I'm ready to face it. I don't fear it.
Then you stand a chance against Khan.
Encountering the most deadly enemy. There's no winner or loser. Only life or death. To conquer this enemy, he has to learn to enter the ring without fear, completely and totally ready to die.